This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, filling in for Tony D. Here's Mike Gill.
Hope you're enjoying your Thursday morning. Coffee in hand, ready to go. Let's attack this day in style. By the way, Ron Culver, so we ended the last hour. You played a Debbie Gibson song. She was number one on this date or this week in 1988. Yep. I don't know the title of the song, but do you have the title or did it already leave your mind?
I think it already left your mind. It was Foolish Beat.
Foolish Beat. That's not even ringing a bell. Like, when you said it, I'm not like, oh, that's right. Foolish Beat. Okay. So I also, yesterday, we talked about this at the end of the show. Like, when we were all done, Ron and I brought this up, and we were looking for things on this date because he was telling me, hey, it's Throwback Thursday, yada, yada. Like, what you know. And I gave you LeBron James selected by the Cavs, number one overall, 2003. So there's two questions I have for you. One, is Tyson bigger than James? And two, is 88 music better than 03 music? Is that why you went down that road?
It was more the latter.
So the music in 88 was better than 03.
I don't know if it's better. I just think it's, for me, I think it's a lot more entertaining.
Yeah?
The 2003, I mean, the music in the aughts. Is that what we're supposed to call it, the aughts?
You can call it whatever you'd like.
But I don't, it's not memorable to me.
The Billboard Top 100, we would have had, all right, come on, dude. We would have had In Da Club, 50 Cent. We would have had, I don't know that are we allowed to play the R. Kelly Ignition remix. Is R. Kelly banned?
He's banned nationwide.
All right, he's banned. He's out. So, but that's the number two song in 2003. You got Get Busy, Sean Paul, Crazy in Love, Beyonce featuring Jay-Z. Now, is this pre-marriage, Beyonce, Jay-Z?
I think so.
Okay, so that would have been some good stuff there. We would have had the When I'm Gone, Three Doors Down, which I guess I could do without. The you might have picked the better stuff. Although, I mean, waking up to In Da Club at 6 o'clock in the morning would have been fantastic. Yeah. Or we could have go P.I.M.P. with 50 Cent.
But I don't think it's either one of us. It's not our birthday.
That's right. All right, man. You win. 88 was the better pick by you. Strong move. All right. When we come back, Bobby Marks has more on this Butler to Houston potential. ESPN Front Office Insider.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, filling in for Tony D, here's Mike Gill.
Yes, NBA free agency, the gift that keeps on giving, SB Nation AM, Mike Gill in for Tony D. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Mike Gill Show. We got plenty more coming, and of course, free agency begins Sunday at 6, but we got the Woj bomb the other day, and now we're going to break it down and get more information as Bobby Marks, ESPN Front Office Insider, set to join us here on SB Nation AM. And Bobby, you know, you look at this Jimmy Butler thing, and everybody in Philly wants to know what is happening as Houston, they basically are saying, hey, Jimmy, why don't you go tell Elton Brand you would like to play here, and we'll try to get something done. So kind of give us a little insight on this whole situation, on how you see this. And do you think there's legitimate interest in Butler to go to Houston and tell the Sixers, hey, I'm not going to sign back here, so you might want to listen to what the Rockets have to say?
Well, I think if I'm Philadelphia, I'm saying if it's not us and you can't go to Houston on your own, you know, because they're like, who's the third team, right? Like, who is that other team that is going to give you that max, you know, contract there? And it's hard to pinpoint one right now. So I think if you're Philadelphia, you have multiple options. You're certainly going to meet with them. You have, you know, you can offer them a 4-year deal, a 5-year deal. I mean, if you offer them 5 years for $190 and it's not good enough, I don't know what else you can do here. I mean, that's the most you can offer. And as far as where it goes to Houston, I mean, there's I mean, there's a lot of logistics here to kind of maneuver through as far as, you know, if you're Philadelphia and you think that Butler is going to leave, you know, and you are not going to recoup anything, you know, does those players make any sense for you? Like, you know, Eric Gordon, I don't think Clint Capela does. But Eric Gordon or P.J. Tucker, and maybe if you can get a couple first-round picks, then that's something, you know, maybe that's something that you think about here. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think there's a lot of what ifs here. I think the first domino to figure out is if Jimmy Butler wants to stay in Philadelphia. I mean, it's, you know, if he, you know, it's a little concerning that, you know, 4 to 5 days before free agency that, you know, this is kind of coming out here, right? I mean, it's like, I could understand if Philly offered him 3 years, $100 million, and he felt lowballed here, but we haven't even gotten to that point yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not there. We're not at the point where the Sixers could offer them anything, but I guess the Rockets are kind of desperate here, though. They know they can't do anything, so is this just a ploy by them to try to, you know, see and you know, see how interested Butler is in them?
Well, yeah, I mean, so I mean, Houston's their options are limited, right? I mean, when you don't have cap space, you don't have cap space. I mean, not much you can do about it. I mean, even if they try moving those guys around, you know, you'd basically have to move Chris Paul and basically everyone else to try to fit Butler in if you wanted to sign him as a free agent. And I don't see anybody taking that Chris Paul contract down for nothing here. So, yeah, I mean, but you know, Daryl Morey is a creative, the general manager of the Rockets is creative. We've seen this exercise. The last couple of years. I mean, we saw 2 years ago with Chris Paul, right? I mean, they went through that as far as getting him in a trade right before free agency started here. But, you know, I don't get it from Houston's perspective, because you look at the Western Conference is wide open. Like, it is. Like, I thought, you know, I think if they don't get in their own way, they're probably top three team here. So, if you do get Butler somehow, you're losing three starters, and now you're relying on the minimums because you are, you know, you're faced with the hard cap restriction. So I just think a lot of balls in the air there. I think, well, let's see how it plays out over the next, you know, couple of days here as far as, you know, what happens.
Bobby, if you're in Philly's shoes and Jimmy says, look, I don't want to resign. I'd like to go to Houston. Is Eric Gordon, Clint Capela, P.J. Tucker attractive to you? Or do you, if you're out in Brand, hold their feet to the fire and say words? Or does that then put Philly in a bad spot once Butler gives him the heads up that, hey, I don't really want to resign here?
Well, I mean, I do like Clint Capela, but I don't know what Clint Capela does for you, right? I mean, especially with Embiid there. So can you redirect Clint Capela somewhere else and get maybe a first round pick? I think the big question if you're Philadelphia, you have to weigh is the value of cap space, just letting Butler go for nothing, right? You'd have probably $25-26 million in room, and you can bring back JJ and Tobias, or, you know, the value of players that are under contract. So those are two different scenarios for you know, Ellen and his group to look at if they get to that point.
Bobby Marks at Bobby Marks 42 ESPN with us here, just running down a couple of scenarios with this news that just came out. Now, recently, that Houston is offering Capela, Gordon, and Tucker individually to teams with cap space. That from Woj to try to absorb salary. So they're trying to get first-round picks. So essentially, it almost sounds like the Sixers and them, maybe they've contacted them, and the Sixers have said, what you got ain't good enough, so you better do this, this, or this if you want to open our eyes.
Well, and I think especially as far as, you know, taking back money. I mean, I think if you're, you know, Philadelphia, I think that's right. You know, if you can get maybe two first-round picks and one of those players, I think that's probably a pretty good alternative if that's what you want to do here. So, and it's a confusing process because, you know, the money doesn't match up, even though it looks like the salary doesn't, because there's a rule called base year comp. So you basically need to recruit like multiple teams in here. It's, you know, three or four teams to be able to get something done.
Yeah, you broke that down on SportsCenter about base year comp and why it matters. And I don't know that many people have heard that term or even know what it is. But how
we'd have to do about four segments in your show, and I think your listeners might drive off the side of the road when I'm going through it.
Right. Well, I saw you breaking it down last night, and I was scratching my head and saying, "Wow, this is something that nobody would ever hear about." But these are all the little intricacies of free agency that get thrown into the mix.
So basically, for the simple version is basically that even if Jimmy Butler signed a four-year, $140 million contract in a sign-and-trade, and year one is $32.7 million, he would be subjected to base year, where for outgoing salary, they would look at his what he earned the previous year. So it would be $20.4 million. So if you're sending out $20 million and you're taking back $29, that's not within 125% of the rules here. So that's why you basically have to divert one of those other players to another team where you're taking back less money.
There you go. You got it all broken down.
That's it.
Bobby Marks got it for you. I know. So that whole situation is something to keep an eye on. Very fluid. Houston, Butler, Philly, and what happens there. What if Butler left Philly? Are they in play for anybody of note, or are they still not in position to replace Butler with a player of Butler's ilk?
No, I mean, I don't know about as far as caliber, but you'll have, if you keep, Tobias, with his cap hole, with Redick and stuff, you'll still have money to go out there and, you'll still have money to go out there and spend on guys. So I think that's, you've got to have that plan B ready in case you get noticed that, hey, I'm going to the Lakers or I'm going to the Knicks, let's say. I mean, you'd have $26 million. So who are those guys that you can kind of, fill in the gaps there?
Sunday, 6 o'clock. Are we going to see stuff fast, or is it going to be like, all right, let me pull off here, and we all going to be so anticipating Sunday, 6 o'clock, and then nothing happens?
Well, what happens is a lot of those kind of those tier B guys that aren't max guys, the Marcus Morrises of the world, maybe Danny Green, Jeremy Lamb, J.J. Redick, even guys like that, those guys kind of come in fast and right off the bat. The main guys usually are the ones taking the meetings and kind of delay the process here. So probably outside of maybe Klay Thompson, back to Golden State, I think we'll probably see a little bit of a delayed process for the A-list players. But I think there are going to be a lot of players not waiting to, wait this process out and will take the best, probably take the best available that they have.
Bobby Marks right here. Crazy time of the year, I know, for you and the team. We appreciate you giving us a couple of minutes, Bobby.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
At Bobby Marks 42. So here's a thought, by the way, on that as he's, breaking this all down. Bobby Marks, excellent stuff, former front office executive with the Nets. My thought, here's something. All right. If the Rockets are offering, and they're offering Capella, P.J. Tucker, and Eric Gordon to other teams individually, wouldn't they have to have some notion that Jimmy Butler would be willing to go there, like, ahead of time? Why would they trade those guys only to have Butler to tell them to go pound sand? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm calling up other teams and saying, hey, we're going to give you Gordon, but we want to pick back in return. Why am I trading Eric Gordon away for a pick if I don't know if I can get Butler? So that's something I think we need to further discuss here, okay? We got to break that down a little bit more. Because why would the Rockets be willing to give away players for picks if they don't know ahead of time that they're going to get Jimmy Butler? Wouldn't they have to have some knowledge that, hey, if we trade some of these guys away for picks to give the picks to Philly, because Philly's apparently saying, look, those players aren't good enough for us. You're going to need to get us picks. Seems like something fishy might be going on here, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Mike Hill, Ron Culver, in for Tony D on your Thursday SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Filling in for Tony D, here's Mike Gill.
Now, I know this song. I just don't know who this is. I'm out.
Come on, Shazam.
Oh man, this would be a. I mean, I know the song. I definitely can retain the song. I don't know the title though, but.
The title's "Circle in the Sand."
Circle in the Sand
by the one and only Belinda Carlisle.
Ah man, Now, Belinda Carlisle in 88, was that Heaven is a Place on Earth, right?
Yes.
That was her jam.
Yeah.
You went with her B-side.
The B-side was the popular one at the moment.
Man. All right. Oh, this week in 1988.
Yeah.
Not in the year.
Not
1988.
The year.
Oh,
people were paying attention to that B-side cut.
All right. Belinda Carlisle and Debbie Gibson have made an appearance on today's show. So I'm going to have to really step my game up here. By the way, AFC South QBs coming up in about a half an hour from now, about 45 minutes from now, I should say. And how about I got some news on the Clippers that will be pretty interesting coming up in about an hour from now as well, plus potential landing spots for Madison Bumgarner. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in 12 minutes. But what do you think of this story, Ron, of the NBA? They are seeking feedback from teams about alternatives to the current NBA structure. And, you know, this is interesting. I find this to be fascinating. Like, this is like a bunch of parents coming to the Little League board meeting and being like, we only play 12 games. We got to play 14. Like, this is what I picture happening here. But we're doing it with millionaires who play 82 games because they want their building full 41 times or half full or however many people are going there. But the fans always say, oh, the seasons are so long. And the owners always say, yes, and you keep coming to our building and putting money in my pocket. So there's never any thought that they would actually cut the season, but it appears that they're somewhat intrigued by the possibility of doing something here. So, I mean, I think all fans, would you agree that all fans out there would be for, yes, give me less regular season games?
Oh, of course. For me, with the NBA, it doesn't start until Christmas Day anyways.
Yes.
So, I mean, maybe you just start then.
Well, every league, like, they all start. Like, you're excited for the first game, and then the next 20, you're like, all right, let's get to the playoffs.
With the exception of football.
Right. Football, there is never a time where you're like, this season's too long.
Yeah.
And then the funny part is, they talk about playing 18 games, and it's not like there's a huge, like, cry from the fans of saying, yes, I want two more games. It's just they don't want the preseason games because they so want to get to the regular season. But in all these other sports, you know, baseball, oh, it's such a long season, and hockey and basketball, you know, oh, these seasons are so long, and everybody makes the playoffs anyway. Well, the NBA is looking to spice some things up. Well, I'll say this. Okay, I live in the Philly area where they tanked for three seasons. Very famously, trust the process, tankaroo, okay? Very polarizing the discussion in this region. You have the processors versus the anti-processors, right? So you have this group of fans who loved what they did. You know, tank, get the best players available in the draft, and then we know we're not going to win those couple of years anyway, so what's the difference? And then you have this old school group of thoughts of, you play to win the game. You got to win as many games as you can. You know what I mean? So you have this fight going on. And now that the Sixers are good, you still have a fight. Because now the people who hated what they did, they are very critical anytime they lose. Because, like, you lost to do this to be a 52-win team? That's not what you lose for. So it's a huge battle that is still going on, what, 6 years after Sam Hinkie decided to tank? I can't believe it's been 6 years. So at that time, we had a lot of conversations with that on the local show, which was, I've always, my fantasy football league does this. Now, to take my fantasy football league and implement it into the NBA, it's kind of radical, but I'm going to try it anyway. In my fantasy football league, the team that finishes in fifth place, one spot out of the money, they get the first pick in the draft the following year. And we did that because teams they stopped turning their lineups in. They were losing purposely so that they can be in last place and then get the first player the next year. So we basically said, we're going to reward you for winning games. We're going to reward you for trying to get better as the season goes on. And I think that's what the NBA needs to do. If you're the 9 seed, you get the first pick in the draft the next season. So now the teams in the middle get that impact player to go from mediocrity to possibly becoming very good. And what that does is it makes more good teams because the teams at the top are getting more competition from the teams in the middle. And the teams that are like, let's say the Atlanta Hawks, for instance. They had a good young team, but why would they want to win games late in the year? We had this new thought process of, I don't want to win games. But if they were winning games and moving up the draft ladder as opposed to down the draft ladder, wouldn't teams be more apt to say, yes, I want my young players to get better, and yes, I want them to play more, and yes, I want them to, holy mackerel, win games. So I was a fan of what the Sixers did, but I hate the fact that that's what they had to do to get there. So I'm all for rewarding winning as opposed to rewarding losing, because I can't, you know. And then, of course, Ron, you get the other side of, well, if you were the 8 seed and you could drop down to 9 and get the first pick in the draft, you would lose games on purpose. All right, I agree with that argument. You might do that. However, you're not tanking full seasons. You might be losing a game or two. You know what I mean? You on board with that, or is that too radical?
No, actually, I am on board with that.
You're good with that?
Yeah.
The ninth seeds in the West and the East, you know, whatever it is, whoever's like got the best record that doesn't make the playoffs, and then you rank them in that fashion. So the worst team in the league would be stuck in the middle of the draft. So it's essentially a league of what? A league of whose front office is smarter, whose front office, and which is what it is now, except it's the reverse. You got these front office executives essentially just, you know, figuring out ways to lose, sitting guys, stashing contracts, taking on bad contracts, and not playing the guys anyway. Then you get a guy who's hurt. Then he comes back at the end of the year. You don't play him anyway because you don't want to win any games. The whole thing is broken. So this whole thing about cutting the season. But did you see the other part of this, Ron, where they're talking about having like a mid-season like playoff tournament or something? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
All right, so it's bonkers. Like, it's like in the middle of the year to take, because they're going to be missing games. Apparently, they're talking about cutting the 82 game season down from 82, and there's no definitive number, but that there was a mid-season like playoff tournament that you would play this thing in basically in the middle of the year to kind of compensate for the games that you're losing at the end of the year, these 82 games. So you say, let's say you're going out of 72 games or 60 games. I don't know what it would be. But they would have this playoff tournament. It would be like a play-in tournament to the playoffs if in the middle of the year, this mid-season cup, which was proposed by Adam Silver, which would recoup the losses that would result in the traditional regular season games. So they're not really explicit on what this mid-season playoff thing would be, but it would be some sort of play-in tournament that I guess at the middle of the year, that if you won this tournament, maybe you would get like an automatic bid into the, I don't know, but they're talking about some major radical changes. But the question isn't the NBA at like its all-time height in terms of coverage and discussion? I mean, I think more people are engaging on the NBA and watching and consuming the NBA than almost ever before, and yet they're looking, I don't know if that's good or bad, that they're looking for ways to tweak it and make it better, but I guess the one thing about the NBA that does need a little bit of fixing, and all seasons, all, you know, leagues, except like Ron, you mentioned the NFL, all of these regular seasons are long and monotonous. And in the world we live in today where everything's changing, it almost feels like, yes, something does have to be tweaked and changed. But possibly going from 82 to like 58 games, I've seen that number out there. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just trying to think. I mean, if you're going to shorten the NBA season, you know, take it down from 82 games, but you're going to have a mid-season tournament, when would you do that? Because then now you're going to start, are you doing it post-Super Bowl, right before March Madness begins? Maybe is it a Christmas kickoff to the NBA season? I'm wondering where you could even slot that.
All right, I'm going to think about that and put it in a good spot, and we can bring this back up. But when we come back, Ron's got the good, the bad, and the dumb. Stick around for that. Mike Gill, Ron Culver, in for Tony D, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What?
idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, time for the good, the bad, the dumb. I'm Mike Gill, in for Tony D. Ron Culver's got the good, the bad, and the dumb today here on SB Nation AM. Coming up, by the way, next hour, Mickey Callaway went out and tried to get himself fired again. I'll explain. More on NBA teams and the league talking about reduction of games and why it might make a lot of sense. AFC South QB previews, and I got something on the Clippers that should be very interesting, so pay attention for that. But first, let's get into the good, the bad, and the dumb.
The good of the day. Now, this happened on a couple days ago, but I didn't see the video until yesterday after our show. So, technically, I could still use it.
It's in play.
It's in play. But what it is, and it's a reminder of why sports are good sometimes. I don't know if you saw the video as well, but Stephen Piscotty.
Oh, I did see this.
Made his return to Busch Stadium for the first time since he was traded from the Cardinals to.
You know what's funny, Ron? I had this in my rundown to talk about, and then I pulled it out because I said, "There's no way Ron's not using this as a good story. This is maybe the best story."
Exactly. Here's a little bit of that audio.
Batting sixth, number 25, right fielder. Stephen Piscotty.
And that's really it. Just all it needed was just a standing ovation before his first at bat.
Seriously, it was one of those moments where you're like, this is what sports is great about. I mean, so just to give the people the background, Piscotty played for the Cardinals,
yep.
But his grandmother, who he's very close
mom.
To, his mother,
his
who
mother
was very close.
Was suffering from ALS. And
she lives in Oakland.
And she lives in Oakland. She did not have much longer to live. So the Cardinals and the A's worked out a trade.
Unbelievable.
That would never get passed. It would be laughable to have this trade. Because, I mean, basically it was, like, let's trade Stephen Piscotty to the A's for a box of Cracker Jacks.
Right.
That's pretty much what the two GMs decided, just so he could be closer to his mother, who I think once he got to the A's, she passed away shortly after him getting there.
You're right, because – and Piscotty was actually a pretty good player. I mean, it wasn't like
yeah,
he was
he's
just –
he's a decent guy, decent yeah. player.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was just like, hey, some minor leaguer bouncing around. Let's, like, send him to Oakland so he can be closer to his mom. Like, he was a young player who was, a pretty nice player. In fact, he's a career 264 hitter. So he's a serviceable, like, you know, starting player. When he was at the Cardinals in 15, he had, 305. The next year, he had 273 with 22 homers. Last year for Oakland, he had 267 with 27 homers. I mean, this guy, he's a very good player. And what an unbelievable story. That is the best of the good, the bad, the dumb ever. That gets Hall of Fame status.
Yeah. It's fantastic that they were able to work this trade out. I mean, it's just that feel-good story. And, when he does return, it's really, good on St. Louis to the ovation that they gave him.
Well, St. Louis is giving ovations to everybody. I mean, Pujols hit a home run. He gets a standing O.
Yep.
But this one's deserving.
Yeah.
Not that the Pujols thing wasn't.
Yep. Just, it's, hey, welcome back. Welcome home, son. The bad of the day, and I'm excited to see this, but it's going to be a little bit of a sour taste. I know you've heard about the couple of NFL stars getting ready to do a 40-yard dash.
Yeah, I think DeSean Jackson's one of them here.
He jumped into it. I know Alvin Kamara. It all started with Ted Ginn Jr. thinking he was the fastest guy and challenging anybody out there. To a 40-yard dash to see who the fastest guy is. And since then, a bunch of players stepped forward. Well, it's actually going to happen, and the winner will get $1 million. That's all fine and great. I love that.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the bad here? Let me hear
the bad is that it's a pay-per-view only, and it's going to cost you $40.
Oh, my gosh. Is this on DAZN or the Plus?
I didn't even want to look it up. I was so upset. I was like, really? $39.95 to watch a couple of guys run a 40-yard.
Totally out on that. I mean, yeah, that is taking advantage to the highest degree there. Now, how many guys are running this thing?
Let's see. There's right now they have 16 players.
Six, This is where you remember the old Wide World of Sports, you know, on ABC, like Saturday afternoon, where they would put like, you know, athletes doing different like events. Then they do like track events or the pole vault or something like that. You had what was the guy? Lou Ferrigno would be in it, stuff like that. You'd see like the old clips on ESPN, but they did them back in like the 70s, like the Wild World of Sports. This is what you need that for. You put it on a Saturday afternoon on television and have these guys, you know, do stuff like that. You do all different events. You do all different track events. You bring linemen out to do the shot put and all stuff like that. You don't charge $40. You know what else too? If I'm a team, I'm not letting my guy run in this thing. You know how many hamstrings, nightmares I have thinking about that?
Have you fully stretched yet? Are you fully NFL ready? NFL, you know, ready to go? It's a scary situation.
I'm out on that. If I'm an owner, I'm saying to Sean Jackson, you're not doing it. If I'm in the Saints and I'm Gail Benson, sorry, Kamara, you're not doing this. Yeah. Because those hamstrings linger with you all year long.
And see, the problem I have is we used to get this every year, the day before the Pro Bowl. You remember the NFL used to have a skills competition? They do have somewhat of a skills competition now, but I remember growing up, they always had the race. And the only reason why I remember is because Daryl Green won it every single year.
Yeah. Well, guess what? If I'm getting my hamstring pulled and it's after the season, I'm less angry about that than if I get it right as training camp is about to begin. Thank you very much. No, yeah. My players are out on that.
But for us common folk, $39.95 just to watch. I think they said it's going to be a total of 15 races.
Okay, well, I mean, at least to give it a little volume. It's not like a Mike Tyson fight.
It's a bracket-style tournament.
You know, but like Tyson's our throwback today. It's not a Tyson fight where you get one race, and it's like, you know, what are they running, 100? So what are they running it in, like 9.8 seconds?
No, they're running the 40.
Oh, the 40, my gosh. So what are they running? So you would get like 4.8 seconds of, 4.2 seconds of running. 40, the 40, that's it?
That's it.
Unbelievable.
I know.
So there's going to be heats and heats and heats of NFL running backs, wideouts, and D-backs running the 40?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the favorite? They got betting lines on that? I'm sure.
I haven't seen any betting lines yet, but I would imagine Ted Ginn Jr. is the favorite just because he's laying down the gauntlet trying to challenge everyone and anybody.
Well, Ted Ginn Jr., I mean, he's a little older than these other cats, you know? Who's the guy who just got drafted out of DK Metcalf, right? He's a burner. Is he in this thing?
I don't think so. I don't know if rookies were allowed to apply.
I went to high school with a guy. He played like with the Chiefs, and his claim to fame is there's a video on this that Who was the was it Dante Hall, the kick returner for the Chiefs back in like the mid 90s?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So this guy I went to high school with, he played wide receiver at Northeastern, and you know was kind of a long shot guy, but he could run like the wind. And his claim to fame is, there's a video on this, he beat him in a 40-yard dash, but he had hamstring problems his entire career. Never could get on the field because of these hamstring problems. But when he was healthy, the guy can run straight line fast as can be.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's
and
my
that's,
one.
And that's exactly what you just got to. What you're saying is this guy had hamstring problems for the rest of his career. We don't know what could happen. You could easily it doesn't take 40 yards. I was just before Christmas, like a week or two before Christmas, I was throwing the ball with my oldest, and he threw it over my head. You know the rule that you got to go after and get it. So I said, you got to go get it, and he said no. So then I got clever, and I was like, you know what, I'll race you to it.
Well, that's a bad move by you.
Yeah, I gave him a little bit of head start, and I'm running, and I'm catching up to him just fine. And then I just said, you know what, I'm going to throw it into extra gear because
yes.
I have that.
Yeah.
And then
you thought you had that.
Yep, threw it in the extra gear, and then pop.
Yep. Oh, believe me, I coach baseball like 13, 14, 15-year-olds, and you want to show them, like, you know, I'm not just fat and out of shape. I could still run.
Yeah.
And it was
still
like
got it.
Yeah, it was like 8 years ago when I decided, you know what, I'm done with this because I tried racing this kid, and I could probably have beaten him except for the fact I blew out both my hamstrings.
There you go.
So I'm done on the running.
Yeah.
Out.
It's just that, you know, I guess age just catches up with us.
Yes, sure does.
The dumb of the day is a quick one. It's just a fashion alert. We can all agree that socks with sandals is a bad look, right?
It is the worst, especially where I live. If you walk on that beach with socks and sandals,
yeah,
expect to get absolutely lambasted.
Yeah, well, there is a company, a sock company, that has created just that. It's a sock with sandals on it, printed on it. Now, I think
the sock has a sandal printed on the sock?
Yes.
Oh, my word.
And I think the theory behind it is for it to be a gag gift. And if it's not a gag gift, then it's going to be.
All right, as a gag gift, I can see.
I mean, this could get pulled out of dumb if you just start seeing it as a gag gift.
No, I think it's a bad idea no matter what.
Yeah, if somebody...
Like, you're not presenting that. You're not going to Shark Tank with that and saying, hey, why don't you invest in my sock sandal? That's
exactly.
Not happening.
Exactly.
Although I bet you the guy's probably like, what are your sales? Well, I'm selling millions because there's a lot of people who have poor fashion.
That's true. I mean, as long as I can remember, we've been making fun of people who wear socks with sandals.
Yeah.
I can't think of a time where we never were making fun of them, and we still have to because they're still being done.
I literally was just in like a sneaker shoe store the other day. One of those, like, you know, ones that has every brand and every style. Like, you know, one of those, you know, it's not just a specialized place. And I'm with my girlfriend and I pulled up one of those sandals and I said, how would you feel if I walked to the cash register with this right now?
Yep.
And she just gave me that look of like, get that out of your hand immediately. I don't know how anybody takes a walk up to that sandal and says, yep, this is the one I'm going with. That's the one that's right for me, and I'm doing it. Like, I don't know. There's that one, and then, of course, there's the classic New Balance, the white New Balance with the blue end that, like, you know, you've just decided in this world, that's it. I'm done. I don't know if that shoe's the most comfortable shoe there is.
You're done. You just don't need to impress anyone any longer.
But what is it with that shoe? Is it so comfortable that you just don't care anymore? Like, there's nothing about that shoe that jumps out. It's like, that's the one. That's what I'm wearing today. That white New Balance. Now, there's variations. Nike has one with the blue swoosh. You know, everybody's got the white shoe with the blue logo on it. But it's the white shoe with the blue end, that New Balance that really has the market cornered of, I've just given up. The grill master's here. Get out of my way. I don't know if that shoe's comfortable, but I know what, Ron. I am not finding out. I am never trying that shoe on. I don't want to know about it. And if you're wearing one, shame on you too.
I can't go that route because to me, you know, that screams suburban dad. That you've absolutely given up on life.
Yes.
You know, that you know what it is? It's God, I can't think of the company that does those commercials where you know.
Yes, I know which one you're talking
Geico?
About. I've become my dad.
You become your dad? That would be the thing where if you went shoe shopping with one of your buddies and he's like, yeah, what do you think of these bad boys?
Yeah, well, apparently, and I was sneaker shopping the other day, and as a joke, I picked it up and said to the guy, what do you think about this? And apparently, the guy told me that young kids are now buying the dad shoes because they're the new cool things.
No, that's the millennial thing of trying to be ironic.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're buying the white shoe with the blue end now because they think it's cool. But let me tell all the dads out there, wherever you're listening today, don't do it. Do not walk into the store with that white shoe and the blue end and say, you know what? That's the one. I am taking this one home, and this will be my shoe.
And if you do have it, burn it.
If you have it currently, Ron is right. Let's start a campfire.
Don't throw it away because, you know, somebody will dumpster dive and get it. Burn it.
Yes. Get rid of it. Don't do it. Definitely the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've had two Hall of Famers today. The Hall of Fame of fashion is of the worst fashion is the white shoe with the blue end. Don't give up on life, fellas. There are more comfortable sneakers out there. It's unbelievable. All right, we got plenty more to go. We got another hour here on SB Nation AM. Mike Gill in for Tony D. We got our AFC South QB previews. I got the potential landing spots for Madison Bumgarner coming up. Plus the Clippers, you know, their name keeps coming up. But there's a very interesting name that they might be interested in. I'll have that at 8:25. Plus Mickey Callaway went and tried to get himself fired again last night. I've got that coming up at in the 8 o'clock hour. Mike Gill, in for Tony D. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Filling in for Tony D, here's Mike Gill.
Tracy Chapman, Fast Car. This one I know. 1988, throwing it back. Mike Gill, in for Tony D. SB Nation AM, along with Ron Culver. You know, the Browns have 15 open training camp practices. It's a fan-friendly type of thing. And it's been talked a lot about in this area because I don't know what it's like nationwide, but Philadelphia Eagles training camp is like rock star status. I mean, people, you would get thousands of people to go to Lehigh to watch the Philadelphia Eagles practice. Well, they no longer practice at Lehigh. They now do it all in Philadelphia. And now they have cut their practices back. They announced this last week that they were going from, it started off as 4 open practices at Lincoln Financial Field. It then got cut down to 2 open practices at Lincoln Financial Field. And now they're doing just 1. And they're charging $10. Now, the money's going to charity. But the Browns have 15 open practices for free. I think everybody needs to get on board with what the Browns are doing. Not follow the Eagles on this one. The fans deserve a chance to get the team up close because the prices during the regular season are way too high. Bravo to the Browns.